So in case you missed it, today is the feast of the baptism of our Lord. This always happens the first Sunday after Epiphany, which was this past Friday. It was too cold and too much of a Friday to do a service that night, but that would have been the night we got together for Epiphany. I left the creche up so the wise men could make their appearance. The shepherds have now gone home, and the wise men show up, although the Bible says they came to his house, not to the stable, but we'll let it go. We only have one structure. And so the first Sunday after the Epiphany is the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord. And our question, much like John the Baptizer's question, is what is this about? Why does Jesus, of all people, want to be baptized? Isn't baptism about sin? And didn't Jesus have no sin? That's kind of the whole point, right? I mean, John was certainly confused. And he made it very clear in other Gospels that this was a baptism of repentance. People came out to the Jordan and were washed in the water of the Jordan River to symbolically wash away their sins, to make amendment of life, to turn, to repent, and turn back to God. Certainly, we as Christians know that Jesus had no need to turn back to God, being God anyway. It's kind of hard to turn back from what you are. He had no sin. What was the deal here? Certainly, John was confused. But the thing is, baptism is about more than just washing away sin, although certainly that's an aspect to it. In the Nicene Creed, which we're not going to say today because it's a baptismal thing, but usually we say the Nicene Creed, and we speak of one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We don't think you need to be baptized every time you sin. We'd stay perpetually wet, I think. But we have one baptism for forgiveness of sins. What is there about baptism that's more than just sin? Well, certainly baptism shows for us that we are united in the family of God. We have been adopted as children of God, just as Christ was God. Now, there was a heresy, very popular at one point, called adoptionism, that taught that Jesus was just a normal guy until his baptism. I mean, it says very clearly in Scripture, God now proclaims him his son. And people took that and ran with it. Well, see, it wasn't until this point that he was actually the Son of God. That's a heresy. It makes a lot of sense, which is how you know it's a heresy. Heresies are lovely things about making sense, but God doesn't make any sense. If we were going to make stuff up, it would make sense. But what God reveals doesn't make any human sense. Jesus was always God. At least that's what we believe. That's what has been revealed to us about him. And so he didn't suddenly become the Son of God at his baptism. So he didn't need to be baptized for that. See, the thing is, Jesus didn't need baptism. Baptism did not change Jesus. Jesus changed baptism. What John was offering was a temporary fix. Come, show that you're ready to turn back to God. Wash away those sins and then try to live your life, but you're not going to live it without sin. We're still going to sin no matter how good the baptism was. But what Jesus does in being baptized is make baptism something more than just sin dealing with. See, Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection and ascension dealt with sin. We still sin. We don't get away from that. But it has been dealt with. Now we're offered forgiveness. And we don't have to kill any critters to do it. See, in the Old Testament, that's what they thought they needed to do. They have to go and kill something to make their sins go away. But through Jesus Christ, it's revealed that no, what we have is the blood of Christ, not the blood of critters. Through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, which is a good thing because we continue to sin. We sin all the time, even when we try not to. But still, God forgives us. Through Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness, not because we deserve it, not because we're great people, but because of Jesus Christ. Through him, we can be called children of God. We are adopted. Christ wasn't adopted, but we are. And as an adoptive parent, I can tell you there's no difference between a child you adopt and a child you have any other way. They're just as much your child. You love them just as much and get frustrated with them just as much as I'm sure our adoptive father does with us. But just because of that, we don't stop loving. We don't stop caring. We don't stop being willing to give our own lives for that child. And that's exactly what God did in Jesus Christ. Became one of us so that we can be forgiven of our sins, but more importantly, so that we can be adopted as children. That in Jesus Christ, heaven and earth are joined together. That in Christ, we meet God. That because we could never ascend to the heights of God, God came down to us, became one of us, and showed us the way to come to God. By loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Of course, that's not always easy to do. There are a lot of neighbors that we don't love and a lot of other people that we find it hard to do who we don't even know. But still, we are called to love one another. That's what a life as God's child means, to live in love with one another. When Peter was called, our reading from Peter here, he was talking to Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion, a Gentile. He loved God, but he wasn't Jewish. And to this point, Peter had been reticent to be with Gentiles. But just before our reading from Acts today, Peter was up on the roof waiting for lunch to get fixed, and he has this vision. A sheet lowers down in front of him, filled with four-legged critters, we're told, things that he was not supposed to eat, like weasels. I'm not sure that's a hard one to avoid. But also bacon on the hoof, which is a tough one. And yet he was told, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. And Peter said, no, I've never eaten any unclean thing. And the voice of God tells him, don't say it's unclean. What I have told you is clean. And Peter, being Peter, it took three tries to get it. That's kind of the story of Peter's life. He's a bit stubborn. But finally, he understands it's not what you eat that brings you close to God. And in the next moment, there's a knock on the door, and it's these guys from Cornelius, the Gentile, saying, we've been told to come and find you. And Peter realizes, I can go and eat with a Gentile, because the love of God is not just for Jews, it's for the world. That when Christ came and gave himself for us, it was for all of us. It wasn't just a Jewish phenomenon. We just had the Feast of the Epiphany, which celebrates the Magi coming to the baby Jesus. It's the revelation of Christ to the Gentiles. From the very beginning, Christ was meant for the world. And now, as members of the family of God, as brothers and sisters of Christ through adoption, it's our job to tell the world that good news, that there is a God, and that God loves them, and that we love them too. And not because we want to love them, but because we've been ordered to love them. There are a lot of reasons not to love some people. And there's really only one good reason to love them, because God told us to do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.